Welcome to Legend Lore with Luis and Lauren, where we talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
I'm Luis, and I'm a senior developer at Paizo working on the Pathfinder Lost Omens line. I've been playing tabletop RPGs for over 15 years, and I've written for dozens of Pathfinder products. I'm also the GM for Valiant, and I write the Monster City blog here on the No Direction Network.
And I'm Lauren, and after talking about it with you, Luis, I think this year I will have been playing tabletop RPGs for 20 years now. And this week, we're talking about a contest, but not just any contest, a contest about sword fighting.
Sword fighting. I don't think there's any need to talk about doing what works best for your table, but always keep that in mind when playing Pathfinder or any RPGs. Lauren, tell me about this sword fighting contest. How did it come about?
So I was watching the remake of the Zorro movie. And I was just watching these sword fighters and thinking, man, this is so wicked cool. I wonder how you would make the greatest sword fighter of all time in Pathfinder.
Quick aside, is that the one with Antonio Banderas?
It is.
Yes. Oh, I love that movie. I watched it over the holidays, in fact, twice.
Well, then I need you here in the co-pilot seat to put this together so we can figure out what build in Pathfinder really kind of comes close to being the greatest sword fighter of all time?
Well, I think you have to decide how you quantify what the greatest sword fighter is.
Well, they have to be... So, I've got it set up into three different rounds right now. Mm-hmm. Or four different rounds, I say. And they're each one designed to test something different about a character or a build or something. And I'd kind of like to go over these each with you. The first one, though, I'll just summarize them real quick. The first one is designed to test a sword fighter's just raw damage output. The second one is designed to test their accuracy and their ability to hit a lot of targets real quick. The third is designed to test their versatility in combat, because a good sword fighter must be adaptable. And the final is just straight up 1v1 sword fighting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go into it. I have some concerns about how Pathfinder's probably not going to accurately represent swords, because in the end, like, two fighters with the exact same build using two different swords just means they have the exact same to hit. And I guess it comes down to the damage die more than anything.
Well, there's a lot of ways you can build a sword fighter, you know?
It's true.
So let me get into the preamble of this first, because I wrote all this down. Do you have my notes pulled up?
I have them here.
Okay, so I kind of want this... I know that I'm trying to figure out something that's just raw math here a little bit, but I don't think raw math is super fun. I kind of want it to be a little bit narrative. Like, these sword fighters from all across Galarian come together and do this contest. And maybe for, like... Ooh, maybe for, like, a silver scabbard or something. You know, wouldn't that be cool? Like a magical scabbard that just keeps the sword sharp and clean. You know, I think that'd be a pretty cool prize.
Sure.
Yeah. Cheating is not permitted, but fighting dirty is encouraged. When I originally wrote this, I had a whole cheating mechanic because I thought it'd be interesting if, you know, two people are up on pillars sword fighting and one of them, like, pulls out a cheat real quick. But then I had to have rules for getting caught by the judges, and, you know, I just went ahead and got away with that. To keep it interesting, I'm going to ask our contestants to not pick any duplicate classes. I don't want everybody playing the fighter, which I worry about a little bit, because I feel like it kind of handicaps the player if, like, you really had your heart set on a build, but somebody else already picked the fighter. But also, it'll make for better radio, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to do level 10 with free archetype, because I think level 10 is a good place to start. Mm-hmm. And free archetype is so much fun, it should be mandatory. I don't know, though. Do you think there's a reason to go higher or lower than level 10?
No, I don't think so. I think level 10 gives you, especially with free archetype, because that's effectively 10 feats, it gives you enough time to make a character that has enough feats to do the kind of thing you want without really landing in the territory of the particularly strong overpowered feats that might actually invalidate your skills as a sword fighter, because you're using feats that do stuff that doesn't care about a sword anymore. If you're always hasted at level 20, right, like that doesn't necessarily prove you're a better sword fighter. It's just you have an advantage because you are always hasted.
Yeah. And there are definitely some feats that really do kind of start outshining your build and whatnot. Yeah. So I've got scoring in rounds designed for maybe 4 contestants I think I want to bring. But this is where we get some crunchy. Tell me what you think about this. Mm-hmm. I was only going to let contestants have a suit of magical armor, just +1, and a +1 striking sword. I really didn't want them to have anything else. What do you think?
Does a sword fighter have to only fight with a single sword?
Well, I mean, maybe they can have 2 swords if that's their build. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know that a sword fighter should be fighting with alchemist bombs. I don't know that fair. They should be fighting with, like, a scroll that they pulled out of their pocket.
No, I'm just wondering about the dual wielders out there.
Yeah, I do think that maybe there's an argument to be made for the dual wielders. Maybe we give them 2. Well, if you give dual wielders 2 swords, you gotta let everybody else have 2 swords too.
Why?
Well, it's fair, isn't it fair?
I don't necessarily think it's unfair if someone has 2 different swords, because in the end, at the absolute best, you will have the exact same sword in your other hand, right? Let's say you have a +1 short sword, and like in your other hand you would have probably you can't get any sword better than, like, let's say a long sword, right? We'll call that the cap of like one-handed swords.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get any better than having a second one in hand, and if you're attacking with your offhand and it's the exact same sword, you're dealing the exact same damage, have the exact same attack bonuses and stuff. So nothing changes, you just have a second sword. You might have a feat that's like, oh, if you have 2 swords, you can do a double slice or something, and that might change how you end up doing in a fight or a contest. But someone else will be like, oh, I have a 2-hander and I have power attack, and that also changes how I 2-hand great sword. So I think it's fine. If I were you, if people want a second sword, I would force them to use doubling rings, which copy all the runes on one sword. I guess if it's only a +1 striking sword, yeah. I think it's fine if it's just another +1 striking sword. I don't think it'll ever make that much of a difference beyond like, oh, I have an agile sword, so I can hit a bit better.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was also prepared to ask contestants to make it illegal for them to cast or benefit from spells or other items, say like a juggernaut elixir or something. What do you think mm-hmm. about that?
So no buffs.
No buffs, no magic missile.
What if someone wants to play a Magus and use a spell strike?
Well, part of spell strike is casting a spell, right?
Yeah, you cast a spell like Shocking Grasp and deliver it with your sword.
Yeah, so I was ruling that as you can't cast a spell mm-hmm. because I was, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I was looking for that pure sword fighter at heart. Magus kind of blends sword and spell, and I wasn't really looking for who blends it, but maybe I should be.
I don't know. It's hard to say, I think, because there will be, like, depending on how dice fall and everything, there's the chance that a Magus could beat a fighter in a contest like this, right? Does that mean they're better or worse? I don't know. I think the qualification is they fight with a sword and use the exact equipment and can't buff themselves. Maybe any spells that you cast can't buff you, they can't give you numeric bonuses, and you can't like use that to damage things or people, right?
Well, what else is there?
Well, you can deliver it. As I say, you don't directly make an attack roll with like a Scorching Ray, but maybe you cast like a fire spell into your sword, and then it's a fire sword. But I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe just no magic, all swords.
Yeah, and well, I think if this goes well, if this competition, we could easily then move into other kinds of competitions like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get so excited thinking about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We could easily do, like, you know, the best gish.
Yeah.
See, that'd be interesting. And there's a lot of ways to build a gish.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so now, whoever we pick to play in this, we're going to have to not let them know. I don't know. I thought that we would keep them blind to what the actual contests are. That way they don't build specifically for these contests.
Okay, but we can tell them, like, hey, one round will test your accuracy.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
And things like that.
And the way I've got it is, so if we have four contestants, there's going to be first, second, and third place in each round. And then I was just going to award some points in the form of marbles for how you place in each round. So, and marbles were just for fun. Well, it doesn't have to be marbles. It can be any MacGuffin. But I figured in first place you could get, you know, like four marbles, and the second gets third and two and one. And then that way at the very end, after four rounds, whoever has the most marbles wins the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, and since two of the rounds are PvE and two of the rounds are PvP, we might even make the rounds that are PvP be worth double marbles.
Okay. What do you do if there's a tie?
I don't know that... Okay, so there's not many where we can have a tie, but in the ones that we could just do it to whoever had more math afterwards.
Well, I mean, like, in the ultimate scoring at the end of the day. Because it's totally possible someone gets first place and then second place, and someone else gets second place and first place, and then they have the exact same number at the end if there's four contests.
Well, then I think there's only one thing that we can do. We'll mm-hmm. have to have a penultimate extra episode where they duel for the scabbard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this... How many people do you think are going to be part of this?
Well, I thought we'd have four contestants.
Four contestants. And who's going to be part of it?
I haven't decided yet. Mm-hmm. I've got some ideas floating around in my head. I also want to see what you think and what Ryan thinks. I don't know. We could pull it from in-house. Everyone could be KD, or we could pull them from all over the internet. And there's strengths to each of those ideas, you know?
Yeah. I remember that there was an attempt to get a bunch of people from various podcasts together back in the day, if you remember Super Smash Finder.
Oh, I remember Super Smash Finder.
This could be a Super Smash Finder style thing where each, you know, we get four podcasts, four shows, or you know, four different spots on the internet that each send their champion to the arena to determine who's the greatest sword fighter.
The nice thing about if it were a spiritual successor, what I remember about Super Smash Finder is that even though the idea and all of the excitement was just as top shelf as it gets, I think it came down to scheduling just being so tough. Because it was so much work for Vanessa and for Jason. But, you know, we're already doing this. mm-hmm. We're already doing this. Like, it's not that much extra work for us, you know.
Well, also, Super Smash Finder was, what, like eight teams of four to five people each?
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, you had full teams.
That's a huge thing to coordinate. As opposed to just four people.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, a host or two.
I love this idea. Send your champion. We'll have to do that. And we'll have to have a KD champion on every roster. I'm sorry, but we have to.
Are they specifically playing a champion?
Oh, well, we could do that in the future.
Send our champion.
Yeah.
Okay. Okie doke. What constitutes a sword?
So this one's actually easier than... Or at least I had thought of it as easier than maybe I should be thinking of it. In Pathfinder 2, we have, you know, crit specializations for different types of weapons. Yeah. So with weapon groups already established, I was just saying it has to be from the sword weapon group.
Okay, so if someone wants to fight with a dagger, they're not allowed.
Doesn't count. That's a knife.
It's a knife. Okay.
But short sword is just such a small step up from a dagger. I mean, daggers are actually really long. We think of them as these like rinky dinky like little steak knives, but they're not. They're like huge.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see if there's anything in the sword weapon group that someone might be like, actually, I don't know if that should be a sword.
Well, you know, if you look at my free-for-all contest, I actually have a list of interesting swords, and I specifically picked them to be very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the nine-ring sword is, you know, it's still a sword, but yeah, like, that's a weird one. Kopesh is a weird one. The dog slicer is definitely a weird one.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm pulling up Archives of Nethys to...
As one does.
Look at the list of swords.
I think I looked at the list in Path Builder. I use Path Builder for everything. Can't recommend it enough.
So
not a sponsor.
So one thing here, Lauren, if you are an adventurer that uses a wheelchair, there's the wheelchair rules in Grand Bazaar, and you can retrofit your wheels to have to work as weapons. So there's one that are like bashing wheels that you smash people with, and ones that have like a spike. There's ones that come with wheel blades, and wheel blades are in the sword group. But at that point, are you fighting with a sword, or are you fighting with your wheelchair more than anything?
That's a good question.
Like, I'm totally cool with, like, obviously we would love to see an adventurer who is in a wheelchair come fight here, but it's the wheel blade a sword, or is it the wheelchair that's your sword at that point?
So I think there's a good question there from like the narrative standpoint, you know, like conceptually, are you using a sword? But I think what's nice about the way they've designed Pathfinder 2E is that we don't have that question from like a math or a build standpoint.
Yeah,
because you still operate it the same way.
Yeah, in terms of stats, it works just like a sword. But in terms of the spirit of a sword fighter, if you are someone that's using a wheelchair, by the rules, you can just like fight with a long sword or a bastard sword or whatever, like anyone else does. But specifically the wheel blades give me pause.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, we'll think about it. If one of our contestants comes up and says, I want to use wheel blades.
I would be excited. Another one is from Guns and Gears. It's called the Umbrella Injector. It's an umbrella with a hollow tip blade at the top. And that's in the sword category.
Why is that in this? So when I first made this list, when I first made this idea, it was
before Guns and Gears.
It was before Guns and Gears. And as much as I love that book, I'm now regretting that it exists.
Yeah, everything else that looks like it's in the sword category seems good to me. I just, the imagery of someone fighting with an umbrella at a sword contest is kind of funny.
And wheel blades.
Wheel blades look cool.
They're dual wielding wheel blades and umbrella sword. It's part of my build.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
We'll see if that comes up. I'm tempted to say the umbrella's fine, though. I'm tempted to say, I know they give you pause, but I'm tempted to be fine with either of them just because it'd be so outlandish. Like, here's the eccentric sword fighter, you know? Look at their weird style.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though, but is it in the spirit?
I mean, by the rules, they're swords, so that's what we're measuring.
By the rules, they are swords, yeah.
And you mentioned that they would have all the same relative stats to a sword, so no advantages or disadvantages in terms of, oh, I have a weird-looking sword or strange style of sword. That's great. Cool. Where would this happen? Is this going to be just kind of in a blank arena, or is there going to be environmental hazards to account for, like at the very least, not necessarily like, oh, look, there's a pit full of acid that you have to jump over, but will there be changes in elevation and stuff to account for different style of terrain? If you remember the fight between Wesley and Inigo in The Princess Bride, they go up and down all over the ruins, so I think something like that would be kind of fun.
Well, let's talk about what the contests are first.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're doing kind of defines where you do it a little bit, you know?
Sure.
So I was watching a lot of Forged in Fire on Netflix. And some of this may be strictly from there. Like, the first two rounds are pretty mundane. These are the ones that, you know, aren't dual rounds. These are PvE, so they're not as exciting. I think they're still fun. I think it's fun. Anyway, so the first one was a dungeon door chop.
I thought you didn't want to give details on this.
Well, we'll just make sure that the contestants that we invite don't listen to this.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if we can guarantee that. So I think we could just say, oh, this is a damage-focused one to determine your damage, right?
Okay.
And that one doesn't require... Like, changes in elevation or weird terrain won't change any of that. Because you're just kind of attacking your target and determining how well you do.
Okay, so yeah. So this one's just based... Yeah, I think that's good. The next one is really based on number of hits you can make. Like, against a target with a normal AC for your level and very low hit points.
Okay, so but accuracy.
Like, yeah, so like accuracy.
Probably... just is a normal blank area again.
Yeah. I think you came up with a lot of the idea for the third one where it's kind of like, well, it forces you to be versatile. And this is one where we could start thinking about the dynamics of the environment.
Sure.
And for this one, I wasn't thinking about that, but I'm really feeling like maybe I should now.
Mm-hmm.
At least some elevation changes, right?
Yeah. I think so. Just, you know, interesting terrain, taking cover might be useful. Or occasional gaps that make it so someone that has a reach sword has an advantage.
Are there any reach swords?
According to this list that I was looking at, there was at least one reach sword.
Wow.
So, you know.
Whoa. We'll have to update my list for the third round.
Let me see if there's any other reach. Or is it just... It's just one reach sword, but, you know, maybe
what
some...
What sword is it?
It's called the Asp Coil. Did you ever play Soul Calibur?
Yeah.
Ivy has a sword that extends into a whip, and that's what the Asp Coil is.
Okay, it's just the Ivy sword. That's funny. Yeah, I think we could definitely do something like that for that
Okay.
one. But in the last one, though, I'm very comfortable fully describing the last one.
Okay.
Because the last one, it had to be a duel, a 1v1 duel, right? Mm-hmm. And for this one, I thought we'd completely change the venue. Maybe everything else is done in, like, an arena or a coliseum. This one, to get a really good duel, to get a really good Zorro-style sword fight, we take it to the docks. And so we have boats docked. We have the actual dock themselves. There might be crates stacked up. There might be a swinging crane. Get a really dynamic environment to do this duel in.
At that point, though, are you also measuring, like, someone's acrobatics or athletics skills as well?
You know, that's a good point. It's kind of a mobility thing.
Yeah, if you're running across... floating rowboats or whatever, I'm sure that would require a balance check of some kind.
You know, maybe there's nothing wrong with a test that tests your, you know, your mobility in combat.
Well, when you think about it, a sword fighter is not going to be fighting in a static vacuum every time they fight with someone. So being able to adapt in this manner as well is also a test, I think, of their skill.
Yeah. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So, when do we do this?
Okay, well...
it doesn't have to be, you know, tomorrow, but...
Well, let's start sending out invitations.
Okay. A letter with a wax seal with a sword, a pair That's of swords right. crossed on it.
I'm glad you were also thinking of Super Smash Bros.
Yeah, okay. Is this something that we would want to stream? Would we want an audience for this?
I don't know. I think that's something we might talk about offline.
Okay. I feel like no matter what we do, whether it's streamed or pre-recorded, I think we have commentators, right?
Oh, well, the commentators are you and me, Luis.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. So I don't have to run it, is what I'm hearing.
No. I figured I would run it since this was my idea.
Okay.
But that requires that I learn how to run games online, which mm-hmm. I haven't done before.
Well, luckily for you, for the most part, all of these things, they don't really require much in terms of a GM, because there's no monsters to run.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hazards to run. If someone has to make a balance check, you just tell them, oh, hey, if you're going to go here, you make this check, and then they make the roll. But for the most part, it's very hands-off. Any AC checks that you do, it's, well, either they hit or they didn't in the accuracy test, or just writing down how much damage they did. And if it's PvP, the other player will tell them if they hit or not.
Mm-hmm. But it does facilitate, like, putting people on the battle map, just little basic stuff to online gymming that I just haven't done before.
Well, I think then it'll be a nice little way to dip your toe into it without having to actually run a full-on adventure.
I think so.
Cool beans. I like this. If this goes well, Steve said maybe we do a greatest gish of all time. I think greatest archer makes sense.
We have to do greatest thief of all time.
Greatest thief. Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be. That'd be real fun. Imagine, you know, like the lockpicking competition, and then like the running down a gauntlet of traps competition, yeah. Like just little things like that.
Do you ever watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No, but I've seen so many memes that it makes me think I need to.
So they have a thing where every Halloween episode is like an attempt to steal a thing. It's like an internal contest where it's like, oh, there's a little trophy, and whoever steals it and has it by the end of the night is the winner of this contest. So I think that would have a lot of fun ideas. I think a mini heist, break into a place, steal a thing, and get out without getting caught as part of that contest would be pretty fun.
Whoever gets the MacGuffin at the end wins.
Yeah. Steal from your fellow contestant.
Ooh.
You know, if they have, let's say, like a flag football style thing where they have a little flag on them. And if you can sneak up and steal their flag, that would be good.
Now, a good rogue does have to be able to defend themselves. So, mm-hmm. you know, every one of these competitions we do might have to have a duel in there somewhere.
Sure.
It is Pathfinder.
It is Pathfinder. Combat does happen a lot. Any other competitions that come to mind?
Off the top of my head? I don't know. You know, Druid wouldn't be super interesting. Who can grow the biggest tree? you know, who can pray the hardest? I don't know that that's super interesting. Oh, I do know one.
Mm-hmm.
We could have a bard off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, who rocks the hardest?
There you go.
I think we could do something interesting with that.
All right. Yeah. I wonder if, I don't think getting into teams, once you start getting into a team effort, then we run into the same thing that Smash Finder had with coordinating too many people.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think solo contests are here. I like this. I think we're in a good spot with this. Just need to figure out our arenas and our contestants and when we're doing this. Do you think there's anything we could have the listening audience, our fans, vote on? Maybe things like a hazard or a specific type of sword they want to see involved at some point?
Well, with the final test, the dockyard finals, mm-hmm. where they do duels, we might need a little bit of fan help to help populate that. What all do we want in this environment?
Yeah.
You know? Maybe the fans vote that they want a wild drunk who bumps into people. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Don't know what they'll come up with. They could also vote on which kind of contest they'd want to see next. The possibilities are endless. I just love getting me some fan engagement. You know that.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think we will call that good, right? This is a good start, and we'll kind of iron out the other little secret details off mic.
Yes. Do you think we've refined this contest to a razor's edge, though? Because that's all we have for you today. Make sure you check out the rest of our content on the No Direction Network. If you like this show or any of our other blogs or shows, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/nodirection, because it's the support of our sword fighters that make this all possible.
Until next time, I'm Luis.
And I'm Lauren.
Thanks for listening to Legend Lore. And as always, it's been legendary.